You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are.
Mm.
And so whether you're homeschooling or not, moms, we have got to be growing in the Lord so that our faith is naturally overflowing to our kiddos.
Welcome to the Mama Bear Apologetics Podcast. I'm Hillary.
And I'm Amy.
We are just two gals who are spiritually armed, highly caffeinated,
and just sassy enough to make bad ideas cry. Mama Bear is a ministry dedicated to helping you raise children who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith using scripture, reason, and reality.
Because remember, Mama Bears, this might not affect your faith,
but it might affect your children's. Well, hey, everyone, welcome to another Mama Bear Apologetics podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you raise children who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith using scripture, reason, and reality. Well, at the time of this recording, we're in the midst of April, and this springtime heading into summer is usually a very big transition for most families, because a lot of families who are considering homeschooling, this is kind of that time of year where they start doing their research, the diving in. And what's amazing is right at this time, there are so many wonderful homeschool conferences going on today. So at Mama Bear, what we wanted to do is kind of focus in for if you are considering homeschooling. And we wanted to provide some encouragement as well as some wisdom for you as well if you are, for the very first time, navigating the waters of homeschooling. So with me today, I'm very excited to have Leslie Nunnery. She has been working hard at the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference, which I'm so excited she's going to tell us about here in just a second. But Leslie, just let me thank you for joining us today at Mama Bear.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We are really grateful for the work that you guys do and excited to partner with you this year at Teach Them Diligently.
That's right. There are two amazing conferences, one in Pigeon Forge and one in Branson. Hillary's going to be at Pigeon Forge. I'm going to be at Branson. So if you are anywhere within the vicinity, golly, we would love to see you at the conference. Come do the breakout sessions there. But before we even get into that, Leslie, can you just tell us a little bit about the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference?
Oh, I would love to. Years, and actually, this is our 15th year of producing homeschool conventions. And when it started, it was just truly an act of the Lord, as it always is. But this story is pretty unique. It was the end of my first year of homeschooling, so we knew nothing about anything. We were so green.
Yeah.
But God had called us to homeschool as a means to discipleship. We really wanted to go for our children's hearts. And we thought that homeschooling provided the time and the means and the mechanism to be able to do that throughout the day instead of just in the evenings and early mornings and weekends. Mm. So the Lord called us to homeschool. And at the end of that year, through a whole long set of circumstances that, you know, I can tell you later, the Lord called us to start Teach Them Diligently. And we just wanted to do it for 1 year to celebrate discipleship in Christian home education. We wanted to really focus people in on the why, because at the time, which again was, this was like 16 years ago, at the time, there was a real shift in homeschooling from this focus on discipleship to almost a focus on the idol of homeschooling, like almost as if homeschooling could save your children or something. That was the kind of language that was going around. And we just felt really convicted that we needed to provide something to go against that. And the Lord allowed us to do it. It was miraculous in every way. Our first event back in 2012, we had 1,500 families show up from 38 states and 4 different countries outside of the U.S. And we were blown away. Only the Lord could do that. We are certainly not smart enough to market that way or reach that many people. God brought in those people because they loved the Lord, first of all, and they wanted to shepherd the hearts of their children. And we were really investing in that. So at the end of that season, we had a bunch of friends that helped us produce the events that year. We all went around the table after praying about it and agreed we should do it again. That's been kind of a yearly thing for the last 15 years where we continue to just, the Lord's opened doors now that we're done homeschooling to provide more resources and invest in families more throughout the year. But for years, we've just been producing events that celebrates discipleship in homeschooling, but also equips you to homeschool really, really well.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. One of the things that stuck out to me was how you addressed the idol of homeschooling and how sometimes it can be sort of preached as a way to guarantee the salvation of your children. And I love that you were sort of calling that out, because I've still seen that percolating within the homeschool sphere. We homeschooled when my kids were little, and then we switched to public school. Now we're back to homeschool, to where, yeah, there can be kind of this mindset of, oh, as long as you keep them in homeschool, or as long as you do a certain type of homeschool, then you're guaranteed to have Christians. And one thing that I think we as parents really need to understand is that we cannot confuse the setting for the spirit, to where it is the leading of the children, or excuse me, it is the leading of the Holy Spirit through the lives of our children. That's how the Holy Spirit's working. It's not necessarily a mode of education that will guarantee their salvation. It's their response to the work of the Holy Spirit within their own lives. So I love that you have this heart to where, man, we just need to get back to the heart of discipleship.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And because it is absolutely the work of the Holy Spirit, and we as parents have to not focus on the result. Like, we have to trust that God will take care of our children, that God loves them. He will allow what we're planting to take root. That is God's to do. But as a mom, I have the unbelievable privilege to naturally let what God is teaching me, what God is showing me, to overflow to my children. And I am able to do that through conversation, through relationship, through discipline, certainly, but through all of these different ways, just very, very naturally. So as a mom who wants to go for the hearts of my kids, first of all, I have to be making sure that I am growing in the Lord, that I am becoming closer to Him. David and I heard years ago, a statement that really changed the way that we approached everything. A Sunday school teacher said, "You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are." And we just, from that moment on, realized we better make sure that who we are is what we would want to see reproduced in our kids. And so whether you're homeschooling or not, moms, we have got to be growing in the Lord so that our faith is naturally overflowing to our kiddos.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes that can be the focus, especially with homeschooling. It's on, okay, how can I pour into my kids rather than, wait, I need to make sure that I am also having my cup refilled with my quiet time and growing with the Lord so that I can pour out into my own children.
Absolutely.
I love that focus. Now, one of the hard things to sort of accomplish sometimes with events like this, whether it's, you know, or events at churches, is kind of getting people out the door. So, you know, for a lot of moms who are maybe feeling like they're doing just fine at home, like, hey, we're good enough, we survived, everyone's alive this year. Like, you know, how what would you say to sort of help them get out the door to attend maybe an event, whether it's a homeschool conference or even something going on with their church? What sort of encouragements would you suggest?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I joked for years that I am such an introvert that it's just amazing that God called us to do this, because I would be the one fighting not to go. I would be the one just content to stand along the wall and look. And God has transformed me in so many ways and has made me a believer in getting together. He has shown me through the years so many reasons. I remember, to your question specifically, one very specific conversation that I had in an event that we had in Texas. A woman came up to me just sobbing, and she said, "I had no idea that I was starving for this. I had no idea how hungry I was." And that sentiment is so true. There's so often that we get so complacent in the status quo, that we're so comfortable, even if we know that there's this rub, that things aren't quite right, that we wish that we could do something different, or we're so dry and barren in our spirit, but we don't recognize, or we don't realize what we don't know. You need to step out and experience getting together with other people, being in a place where you are surrounded by like-minded people, being poured into by men and women who are experts in their field, but also who love God and desire to serve your family deeply. Those types of things, you cannot, You cannot get through an online presence. You cannot get through, you know, just listening to something on YouTube or Instagram or whatever. You've got to actually be around other people in order to experience it. And God actually created us to live in community. Satan would love for us to be isolated. Satan would love for the status quo, for us to just sit with the way that we are. And even if we feel like things aren't quite right, we're comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not, the stakes are really high with your family. It is worth the investment and taking the risk to step out and allow yourself to be served in that way so that you can go home and serve your family so much better.
Yeah. The refreshment that happens when you're in community with other ladies and you can see other families that are functioning, you're absolutely right. That cannot be replicated online. And so it's amazing when you can get out there. It kind of reminds me of the contrast of Mary and Martha, to where sometimes we can get in that Martha mindset, to where it's serving, it's organization, it's making sure the home's running well. And really what we're truly missing out on is that pause of, okay, we can let the chores wait for a little bit. You know, we can let the house be messy, or we can order out for dinner. And we need to step out so that we can get filled up and just find other community, because it's amazing how many other women have already gone through what we're going through that have amazing wisdom for us, or just the natural encouragement and excitement to be able to rededicate a bit of our lives back toward focusing it on Christ so that we can now channel that into our children, which you kind of talk a little bit about with regards to this focus on heart school rather than just sort of homeschool. So what's the different approach between, let's say, homeschooling and what you found with regards to heart school?
So heart schooling is a term that I coined back several years ago. It really just is discipleship-focused homeschooling. It's recognizing your calling is to parent your children biblically, to go for their hearts, to disciple them, to bring them to Jesus and give them a solid foundation for their faith. That is your call. And, you know, if you look at God's word, we as believers all have the same call to bring people to Jesus. So as a mom, you have the privilege that your Jerusalem, your ground zero for the gospel, is right there within your home. That is your primary call. And so many people mistake that for homeschooling. They mistake their primary call for homeschooling. And when you shift those two, that's where you get so much friction. That's where you have no clarity, because you have these competing mindsets, because inherently you know that you're supposed to be building relationships and a platform for the gospel so that you can shepherd your kids' hearts well. But then if you're called to homeschooling and that is the lead dog in your life, then you are really setting up your days with a structure that serves that master. With heart schooling, you find that by getting your mission right, understanding that first and foremost, you are mom. You are to point your kiddos to Jesus. You are to be the one that they want to come to talk to. You are to deepen those relationships. When you get that calling correct, homeschooling falls up right up under it as a fantastic tool for discipleship and for parenting well, and for giving you opportunities to have relationships with your kids that you would have never, ever imagined. But you have to get those things straight in order to get the clarity and the purpose behind what you're doing that really transforms everything that comes along behind it, because it tells you what to say yes and no to. It gives you structure for your days. It rearranges what your view of success is. So there's so many things that when you look at it as heart schooling instead of homeschooling, it just changes your mindset so much. I wrote a book. We have, you know, a course. We have actually a parenting intensive where we really try to walk with families to get their mindset in this direction, because it changes everything.
Confession time, mamas. When I am in my house chasing after my toddler, I am usually wearing a pair of joggers. I love them. I mean, they're comfortable and they're adaptable for everyday life, which is why I wanted to introduce you to our sponsor, Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes brushed bamboo joggers that are made from viscose from bamboo. They have a tapered fit with a relaxed waistband and just enough structure to feel intentional, which if you are a busy mom, that is exactly what you're looking for. It's perfect for morning coffee, afternoon errands, or evenings winding down. These joggers, they're gonna go with your day wherever it takes you. Now, what's amazing about this is that they come with a 10-year warranty. So this spring, give yourself the kind of comfort that lives with you all day, not just the moments you get home. head over to CozyEarth.com and use our code MAMABEAR, that's M-A-M-A BEAR, for an exclusive 20% off. And if you see the post-purchase survey, mention that you happen to hear about Cozy Earth right here on Mama Bear Apologetics. That's Cozy Earth. Comfort lives here. Now, what would you, if you were to sort of lay out maybe a few red flags that maybe you have your purpose or trajectory off, what would you say some of the red flags would be on, hey, maybe we're focusing less on discipleship and more on just this sort of what can sometimes be like this false idol around homeschooling?
Yeah. There is usually a huge internal friction, particularly with the mom, when you have those two things out of line, because mom always feels like she's doing the wrong thing. Like no matter what she's swiping at, it feels wrong. Yeah. And so there's this constant turmoil, which makes mom brittle. It makes the marriage stressed. It makes like tempers quicker. Like it impacts all of these things because there's this internal friction. So that's one thing that if you're feeling that, you may well have those two things out of line. Another thing that comes up a lot of times is when you are really academically focused to the exception of you're almost so rigid in the academics because you are wanting to give your kids, I mean, for all of these things, I really do believe that the mom's hearts are in the absolute right place, but it's so easy to get off course by just a little bit. And that can lead you down a path you just don't want to go. So when you're focused so heavily on academics that it starts to put friction on your relationship, where it starts to put, undue expectations on you and your children, you're going to find that you are, instead of making them better students, a lot of times you're suppressing a love of learning. You are really putting wedges in your relationship. There's a lot of friction, again, that comes in when that is your focus. So those are two very, very clear ways. Another way, when you don't understand your mission and when you don't start making your choices in line with that, you're going to find that your life is so over flooded with activity that you are sacrificing the things that are most important. And that is one of the things that I see most prevalent right now. I talked to countless women last year at our events who were just crying because they had committed to so many things, sports, classes, just different things that were tearing their family apart because they were constantly going in different directions. Understanding your true calling and lining things up behind that, like we talk about in Heart School, will give you the lens and the filter through which you can say, yes, this is good for this season, or no, this is a great thing, but it's not a great thing for our family right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. 100%. That idol of busyness we've seen, it doesn't just sort of take over the homeschool families, but also the public schools as well.
Absolutely.
To where we sort of have this false understanding of what it means to be a well-rounded child. And we think it has to be saturated with activities. They have to be in school. They have to be in the dance, some sort of art. They have to be in some sort of sports. So that way their college application can have all of this, you know, decorations on it and seem appealing. When really what we're doing is we're outsourcing the most desirable and easily accessible moments for discipleship out to these sporting events or these little activities. And it's really, there are times in our lives where we actually just need to say no to that so we can take back the time that God's given us to disciple them to the glory of God, which He's given us.
I appreciate very much that you brought up the public school families, the Christian school families, because at Teach Them Diligently, though our events are focused on homeschool families, our mission is discipleship. Our mission is to help families understand that no matter what mode of education you choose for your family, your calling is the same. Your calling is to parent your children biblically and to point them to Jesus. And so all of the things that we say, you may apply them differently because your kids are in public school or Christian school or, you know, whatever you're doing with their education. The truth of the matter is we're all connected because our calling is exactly the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is, to where now it's a matter of, okay, how do we now fit discipleship into our daily schedules while being willing to sacrifice perhaps some of the secondary things that are perhaps stealing those moments? So with regards to discipleship, you know, one of the things that Teach Them Diligently really wants parents to understand is that discipleship isn't a subject to add in. It is actually an aspect of Christian parenting that we are to be utilizing regardless of what we're doing in our lives. So what does that sort of look like in a normal everyday? And since we're focusing in on homeschool, we can look at homeschool. And then if you've got some ideas for the public school as well, you know, what does that look like, the everyday discipleship?
Well, really, most of the things that I'm going to share works for everybody, because again, it comes down to our common calling. Discipleship, as we're kind of shown in the Deuteronomy verse that we based our ministry off of, you're to teach your children to love God as you walk, as you talk, as you do laundry, as you do the grocery shopping, as you take a ride, whatever, you fill in the blanks. And so when you have a mindset of, this is my primary call, I want to go for my kids' hearts, you're going to find that every conversation that you have, there's a moment, even if it's not spiritually laced, it doesn't have to be. You're still passing on how you think. You're learning how your kids think. You're learning what is important to them, and they're learning what's important to you. Just doing life side by side and being willing to talk openly with your kids, going for their hearts in that way, you're going to find countless opportunities to just talk about what God is teaching you. One of the things that God kind of whispered, really impressed on my heart when I was a young mom, was that I started getting up in the morning. I was already having my devotions in the morning, but when we would come for breakfast, when my kids were really little, I started sharing with them every morning what God had taught me in my devotions. And what I didn't know then, that now that my kids are all grown, I'm a grandma now, looking back, I see that what I was doing with that just simple little step of obedience, every morning just sharing, you know, in an age-appropriate way what I was learning, what happened was I was whetting their appetite and modeling for them that that's what Christians do. They get up in the morning and they have their time with God, and then they talk about it. And so that went from me sharing with them to when they were a little bit older, they wanted to start doing something. And understand, when I tell this story, there were a lot of really silly conversations that had nothing to do with growing in the Lord through the years. We were not, you know, spiritual giants all the way up. But it was a natural rhythm in our day. We got up, we had our time with the Lord, we talked about it. And as my kids got older, I started watching in awe at how comfortable they were to talk about things of the Lord. And God just really impressed on me at that point, that's because they've been doing it so naturally around the table all these years. So it wasn't a stretch for them when they got older. It was a natural continuation. So that is one way. Just share with your kids, if it's not at breakfast, at dinner, maybe at, you know, send them a text if they're out all day, whatever it takes, share with them what you're learning in your own devotions. That sparks so many great conversations, and it helps them understand, wait, mom was struggling with this and now she sees an answer. This is where I go when I'm struggling. Or if I'm struggling, I can probably go to mom and she and I can probably figure out biblically what to do about it. I mean, it does so many things, and it really truly is just a very natural overflow of what God is teaching you.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. That's one thing we've noticed as well in our own lives, is especially when it comes to modeling how we are to live out our faith, which a lot of, especially teenagers, wrestle with, is that reverence is nurtured when children understand the why, when they understand the reason why we are doing what we are doing, why we pursue, or even how we actually dive in and seek God's will in our lives. And it doesn't require some sort of expensive curriculum or formal structure. Yeah. We do it quite naturally through our day when we just casually discussed, which is exactly what was being encouraged to parents in that Deuteronomy 6 lineup, is, hey, just do life and explain how you're doing life with your children, because then it will become second nature. And what's beautiful about that, especially as moms and dads are living this out, your children already know who to go to when they have those questions. And one thing, you know, we love to encourage parents is mom and dad, sometimes you're not the first one to go to, but the fact that your kids know that they can come to you and receive a patient, loving, Christ-honoring answer, that speaks volumes. And it doesn't just stay in your kids. It always spills out into their friends, their community. It's this amazing ripple effect that if we are just faithful in the small moments, it can have huge impact to the glory of God. All we have to do is be bold enough to speak.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, one thing, you know, that sometimes, I mean, because I got into this, especially in my earlier homeschool mom days. I mean, man, you got the planners, you've got everything organized, you know, but sometimes we can start shifting into this sort of like box checking mindset when it comes to homeschooling. So how can we sort of shift from like, okay, I gotta do this at this time and we gotta get to this activity here. How can we switch from doing the box checking with regards to homeschooling to maybe being a little more intentional in shaping our child's heart?
That's the pitfall I think every single one of us fall into at some point or another, and then over and over again as we just keep tripping, as we continue to grow. One of the things that I talk about in the Heart School book, but I also, we talk a lot about it, Teach Them Diligently, just in general, is recognizing that because we serve a different master, because we have a different call, we need to be measuring our days by a different set of benchmarks. We need to not use the same, like so often, I think, especially, you know, going back to homeschool in particular, we have left a system of education and yet we still measure our days by the rubric that they measure their days by. We need to shift our mindset on that. And so I encourage people to come up with their own set of benchmarks that show what was a successful day. Do you know your child better? You know, you may have, the day may have gone off the rails based on your planner. I had countless days like that. And you may have been doing, always choose math. Math gets, math, poor math. I always pick on math. But, you know, you may be in the middle of a math lesson and your child starts melting down. And so you take a detour. You're going to deal with that heart issue. There is something going on there, whether it be a sinful pride issue because it's too hard and they're struggling and their brother got it easier, whatever. Or if it's just frustration and anxiety that they, you know, they're struggling. Whatever it is, as mom, I want to find out what's underneath that. I want to deal with that, help them through it, help them to start to think biblically about this problem and teach them how to solve it. But then I also want to teach them to have the discipline to come back and have and do hard things. So we will come back to that math lesson. We will finish it. But if I look back and I haven't gotten half done what my planner said, and yet I got some insight into something that my child was struggling with, that's a good day. That is a good day because God has opened my eyes to something that now I can truly help them overcome. And that's going to change not just their academic life, which it will, it helps academically, but that's going to help them in all areas of life. And so if I am just measuring my day by my planner, that is a wretched day. I have lost half of a day, you know, because I haven't checked these boxes. But when my benchmark is different, when I am serving the master that called me to parent my child's heart, that day is a really successful one. So it really, you need to shift how you're gauging your days to align that with the mission that God has given you.
Now, Leslie, one thing that, I mean, it isn't just homeschooling. I mean, it's pretty much every facet of our spiritual walk. But I notice, especially among women, like we can sometimes be just overburdened by this idea that we are unqualified to be able to do this. I mean, it always comes back to, and I've traveled around at different churches. And one thing I've heard is, oh my gosh, you know, I haven't gone to seminary or I don't know all of these things. Or, you know, there's sort of this idea that to be good at homeschooling or to be effective in discipleship, we have to know everything 2 weeks ago, right? Like, so how do we help parents who are feeling this pressure of being unqualified or unsure on how to lead or maybe even just where to start, just sort of these feelings of being overwhelmed and unfit?
Well, first of all, when we know who God is and we know that He is sovereign and His plans for our family is good, that should change the way that we are looking at how equipped we are. Because whether by birth or by choice through adoption or whatever, God put your family together and He knew that you were the exact person to parent that child. And that first and foremost should give you so much comfort and so much confidence because God makes no mistakes. And so as he is growing you, the things, even your mistakes, are the very things that you can leverage for the good of your child. I learned years ago that discipleship is just leveraging what God is teaching me on behalf of someone else. And so that often in my life has come through making mistakes, reacting poorly, not having my act together. But I want to take those things that I am learning through my mistakes and help my kids learn them earlier, preferably without the same mistakes. So God can use the little loaves and fishes that we have to offer, and he can multiply them in ways that we would never, ever imagine. But we have to trust that he is the one who is able to do it. I think that when we are so focused on not being enough, not being competent enough, smart enough, patient enough, fill in the blank of whatever kind of enough, our focus is on ourselves. We are looking at our abilities, but we serve a God who isn't surprised by anything. He is sovereign over all, and he has a purpose for your life, and he has a good purpose and plan for every one of your children's lives. And that is the most liberating thing that I can share with you today.
That is wonderful. And very encouraging as well. Now, okay, so you guys have been doing Teach Them Diligently for, would you say 15 years now?
15 years of events.
Yeah, that is amazing. So what changes have you seen in families when they begin to integrate faith and discipleship sort of more naturally into their rhythms?
This is just one of the most exciting things. Through the years, we have seen a lot of families where members of the family have actually come to know Jesus at our events, which has been, we didn't even start praying that way. We prayed that God would revive families, but we didn't even think to pray that God would bring people to himself through our events. But because the focus is so much on the gospel and lifting up Jesus, every year just about, we have had people who have come to know him, and that has been unbelievably exciting. We have seen marriages be restored. We have stories from people who were ready to leave and just call it quits, and God got a hold of one or both of their hearts through the weekend, and he restored their marriages, or at least start the restoration process there. We have seen families where husband and wife have gotten on the same page because we purposely set up our events, unlike a lot of other homeschool events, where we have stuff for every member of the family. So we strategically have stuff for dad. We have a men's breakfast. We have a lot of workshops to strengthen dads because we want to make sure that dad is engaged in this as well, and that we are serving dads, and so that dads and moms can be on the same page. So we've seen moms and dads come kind of kicking and screaming. They don't want to come, and they leave. They leave though so often telling us, we'll never miss another year. I want to make sure that my wife is here. I got an email a couple of weeks ago from a dad who said that not only did he decide that they will never miss another year, but he makes sure that his wife gets to come to retreats that we do every year because he feels like it is so important for their family. We have seen families commit to the mission where they've come in so confused and so conflicted. And through the weekend, God just shows them really what their call is and how to line everything up. And so they leave not conflicted. They leave excited to serve the Lord this way. So I could just go on and on. I'm so overwhelmingly grateful for what God has done through the years in families that he's allowed us to serve.
Oh my gosh, that's so incredible. And I'm loving this renewed focus on reaching dads, because for so long, homeschooling was like, okay, that's what the wife does. That's mom focused. And no, it's family focused. And so my husband and I too, we have this passion on, okay, how do we get dads involved as well? And to recognize and to take back their God-given command to lead their families. And I love that that's being nurtured, especially within these homeschool conventions as well, to where, you know, listeners, even if you aren't homeschooling, this would be worthwhile to go to just for the fellowship and encouragement of like-minded Christian brothers. So man, you know, I would definitely look into these events. And, you know, it's got me thinking too, Leslie, because, you know, when transformation happens in the family, it always spills out into the greater community, the church, the nation as a whole. So, you know, you've been able to see it through the families. Have you been able to see like how this starts affecting communities as well?
Yeah, actually, that has been another unforeseen but very exciting thing. As these families get mobilized, first of all, they're finding each other. So because mm-hmm. we have regional events and then we have a membership community, we've got families who are connecting throughout the year. And then they're kind of bonding and able to reach out more. But even when they don't find other Teach Them Diligently families, they're going back into their homeschool communities with a renewed focus, with more equipping for the mission, with a desire to transform not only their family, but that naturally overflows in conversation with the people you're doing life with, whether it be in your neighborhood, your church, your homeschool community, whatever. And so I've gotten many, many calls from people who are starting new things or having people into their homes or whatever, just making those connections so that they can continue to put into play what God is teaching them, again, leveraging what God is teaching them to disciple other families in the same way.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So y'all, if you are listening, even if you are not going to venture into homeschooling, this would be a worthwhile event to go to just so you can get practical equipping on how to incorporate discipleship within your homes. Because man, if you and husband are both working and kids are involved in sports, you do have less time in the day to really pour in. So we got to maximize those moments. So Leslie, can you tell us maybe a little bit about Teach Them Diligently? Like what sort of breakouts, what sort of sessions do you have available? Aside from all the amazing booths, and you're going to want to buy everything in the building, you know, what sort of activities can parents expect to be able to go to when they attend a conference like this?
Yes, I would love to. And actually, one of the things that again is distinct about Teach Them Diligently is more people attend our marriage and parenting classes, which we have every hour, really even than do the nuts and bolts of homeschooling. Because when you shore up those relationships, that parenting element, the marriage element, the homeschooling part comes pretty easily. That once you get the mission and the focus and the relationships tight, that part is much easier. So you're going to find every hour, you're going to find workshops on strengthening your marriage, workshops on parenting. I do workshops on love. What does love look like? Biblical love. How does that look in a family context? How do you pray for your children and your spouse biblically? How do you take scripture and really, really allow that to transform you? So you've got very practical, rich workshops like that that are just focused on family. Then you'll have, for those who are homeschooling, we have workshops every hour about different homeschooling topics as well. So you are going to be able to get whatever you need when you come into the building. But additionally, because we are so family focused, we have a mom's night on Friday night where it's a free event. We just want all the moms to come in and let us pour into you, give you a really fun, relaxing night. We've got some great prizes that we'll give away, but really we'll just worship the Lord together and we will spend time together. We have keynotes that this year I think are just really, really cool. We've got Al Mohler, Ken Ham, and then astronaut Barry Wilmore, who was stuck on the space station for days and days. I think he's been 400 and some odd days in space. But he is a strong believer who's going to tell us a whole different perspective about the grandeur of what God has done in creation. And so he is speaking this year. Before all of our keynotes, we have a time of worship. And so you get 4,000 people singing songs of worship to God together. And it is just an experience that is amazing. It's like heaven on earth. It's just so great. We have a children's program. We have a teen program. We have an opportunity for your teens to spend Thursday getting equipped and then Friday and Saturday serving in the children's program so that it's kind of a servant leadership program to try to help them get an idea of what is biblical leadership? Well, biblical leadership is washing feet. So, you know, we are trying to equip teens that way. So every member of the family, and like I said, we got bacon at the men's breakfast to make sure that the men come out early.
We've got the meat.
We got the meat. So we have a men's breakfast on Saturday morning that is always a highlight. The dads, a lot of times they'll bring their sons and it's just a cool time.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. My family's coming. And yay! So I'm already thinking my 16-year-old is huge into space and everything. I'm like, well, I know what breakout session he's going to. And there's bacon involved. So I know where all of them are going to disappear to. It's going to be incredible. So for those who would love to attend, how can they get more information on registration, maybe what booths are going to be available, all the fun stuff? Where can they find out more?
So if you go to teachthemdiligently.net/events, that will take you straight to the landing page for our conventions. From there, you can find the location that's closest to you and see which speakers and exhibitors and breakouts and everything are going to be there.
That's so exciting. And like I mentioned, listeners, Hillary's going to be at Pigeon Forge. I'm going to be at Branson. If you come by our table, we're going to have special giveaways as well. We definitely want to see you. So Leslie, gosh, can I just say thank you so much for joining us. Your encouragement to Disciple Within the Home has been such a blessing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this stuff.
Oh, and it's going to be amazing. So mamas, hop on over, papas, bring your kids, bring everybody. They got stuff for everyone. Make a point this summer to come out, this spring and summer, come out to the Teach Them Diligently conference. We look forward to seeing you there. And if you would like more information with regards to not only this ministry, but our ministry as well, Mama Bear Apologetics, all you got to do is hop on over to mamabearapologetics.com. That's M-A-M-A bearapologetics.com. We've got blogs, we've got podcasts, we've got resource links. You can request a speaker for your event. We have all the things to help you build up your congregation to be bold in the faith and nurture families to pour into their children and raise them to be warriors as well. We look forward to seeing you soon. Leslie, thanks again. And we will be with you next time, y'all. If you've enjoyed this podcast, hop over to mamabearapologetics.com where you can get more links to podcasts, blogs, and even request a speaker for your next women's event, family retreat, or your next church conference.
Mama Bear Apologetics is a listener-supported program, so if you really like what we're doing, please go over to our website, www.mamabearapologetics.com, and click donate.